Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav, and we're holding on. You say it's still in the bottom? Oh, okay. We're still holding on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amid Beis. And yeah, I don't remember where we got up to. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel?
Yes.
Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Asarabatim Zelif Nimize. Suppose you have 10 homes, all row homes. Each one is opened to the other. They all come out into a chotzer. Yes, you can get that picture. There's the picture.
You're basically LA strip mall.
Well, it happens in the Rova all the time, let me tell you.
No one's coming from
one of the Well, the way they have it drawn there, you have this little porch-like affair at the front that you go through, if you go through the guy's living room.
It's sort of like a motel, the rooms connect.
So in this case, in order to make an Eruv, what's interesting is that the pnimi noten et eruvo v'dayu. All that you would need, actually, is for the inner one to give an eruv, because all the other ones do not require contributing to the eruv in this chatzer. We'll see why in a moment. Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu chitzon. Even the out, we think it means even the outermost home.
Outermost away from the chatzer.
Even the closest to the chatzer. Chitzon is a Beit Shar, isn't it? In other words, certainly we said before that if someone lives in a gatehouse, then by living in that gatehouse, it does not gain diur in the chatzer, it does not require an eruv, because it doesn't aser on the people. Because a Beit Shar, we said before, is it considered to be a makom nira. Now, since over here people are going through the other homes in order to get to your house, the inside house, then that should mean that all the outside homes are a Beit Shar related to the innermost home. But certainly, I mean, the home that would least require participation in the Eruv is the one that's actually opening up into the Chatzir that everybody has to go through. And by what possible logic could Rabbi Yochanan say that even the Chitzon is included? Answers the Gemara, he doesn't mean the outermost one, that is, the one that's close to the chatzer. He means the chitzon shel pnimi, the innermost, plus the home that opens into the innermost. The other 8 homes are definitely a Beit Sha'ar. What is the machloket over here? Mar savar Beit Sha'ar diachid shmei Beit Sha'ar. The question is, what is a Beit Sha'ar? Is a Beit Shar opening into a chotzer that has a number of different homes, which is the norm? We have a gated community. You have a little house for the shomer, and then everybody passes through that in order to come into the place where everyone else lives. But an individual doesn't usually have a Beit Shar with someone living in front of his home in order to get into his home. Therefore, it's not considered to be a Beit Shar because only a yochid lives behind it. In which case, we would say, that only if you have 2 homes, meaning the chitzon of the pnimi, the inner, the second to the end, the penultimate house in this list. So you have the pnimi plus 1. Anything else is a Beit Shar because then you have 2 homes inside. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan added that the one that is next to the innermost one, that's what he calls the outermost, meaning the outer of the 2, would also require an eruv. Moshein Ken Shmuel says, even in a house of a yochid takes a Beit Sha'ar, in which case all 9 homes are Beit Sha'arim, so to speak, up until the last house, and the only one that requires an eruv or that asers on the other homes is Dafka, the one that's the inside. Wow, that's very impressive. Telling you. He couldn't resist giving out those benchers. I see. You try this every day. Okay. Mazel tov. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravu, Omer Rab. Shtei Chatzerot. V'shlosha batim b'neihem. Here we have a very interesting case. We have two chatzerot, homes on either side of the chatzer. This one, I think, is probably, actually, would be helped with a little picture. So here your picture is number 244, although I don't particularly like the way they did it, but what can you do? Let's see yours, maybe it's a little nicer. Which one? The same idea. Okay. So what you have over here is two real chatzerot. There are homes opening into each one of the chatzerot on either side. And then there's a row of three homes in which the house on either end opens up into its relative chatzer, and they open up into the middle. Now the issue is, how about if people in the chatzer to the east walked through the house that opens up into their chatzer. So zeh ba derech zeh v'notein eruvo b'zeh, v'zeh ba derech zeh v'notein eruvo b'zeh. Each one walks through the house opening into their chatzer. This one has the loaf of bread in the window. That makes it very clear. So the eruv now is placed in the middle home. And what actually happened over here is that each one has made the opening home a Beit Shar into the other side. So the house that should have given the Eruv, normally I would have thought, is the house that opens up into the Chatzer. In this case, they jumped across that house to put their Eruv inside the middle house, which doesn't open into the Chatzer, which means that they view the outermost home as the Beit Shar to that home. And they did this on both sides.
Okay. That include both
chatzerot. Not necessarily. Each one did it separately. So over here, if in that case where each one zenotein eruvel b'zev zenotein eruvel b'zev, what happens is ze naaseh beit shaar lezeh. Each outermost home becomes the beit shaar to that chatzer which was open to the home, either from the east and the west. And the emtsa'i does not require an eruv because the rule is that a bayit the house that's used as the location of the Eruv doesn't have to add its own piece to the Eruv itself, in which case there should be no problem over here for both of the Chatzerot. Because the outermost homes don't require an Eruv, because they both have been turned into a Beit Shaar by virtue of being walked through to get to the place where the Eruv is kept. So that means everyone has announced that they're viewing the house that is opening into their chatzer as a Beit Shaar to the middle house that keeps the Eruv. Therefore, you don't need an Eruv in the outside one, and the inside one doesn't need it because that's where the Eruv is. And this would be true for both of the chatzerot. In other words, there's no inherent contradiction in the fact that each one views the reality differently. Because, I mean, there's no problem with both of them being a Beit Shaar. There's no problem for each chatzer being able to be metaltel in that house. So therefore, there's no problem. But in the following case, we run into a contradiction. And this is where Rechava set up a fascinating case for a test that he was giving his class that should be an extension of this rule. So Bodik Luhu Rechava L'Rabbanan, Rechava gave an interesting case in a test in which he said, what if you would have Shtei chatzerot v'shtei batim b'nei. How about, forget about that middle house. There's only two houses that connect to the two chatzerot. What happens here is that each one of the chatzerot did the same thing as they did in the previous case, except over here there's no middle that allows it to make sense. It becomes a contradiction, because each one is saying that the house that they pass through is only a Beit Shaar, and the house that they're putting in is really a house in their chatzer. And as the other one is saying, no, the house you're putting in is the Beit Shaar, actually. What you call the Beit Shaar is the house in our chatzer. Here we've got a little bit of a problem. So he asked the Rabbanan, what would you say if each one passes through the house that opens into the chatzer and puts the Eruv into what the other chatzer claimed was only a Beit Shaar to the other home? So zeh ba derech zeh v'natan eruvo b'zeh, v'zeh ba derech zeh v'natan eruvo b'zeh. I ask you to please write, you have 15 minutes, Kanu Eruv Olo. So the question over here is Mimashve Lulagabe the high bayit ulagabi the high bait char, ulagabi the high bait char ulagabi the high bayit. Is it possible to create circumstances in which the halachic consideration of each one of these units is precisely the opposite depending on your point of view? So if you're in the east, then the house that opens to the east is a Beit Shar, whereas the house to the west is the Bayit. But if you're in the west, the house that's to the west is only a Beit Shar, and it's the house in the east which is the Bayit. Can the same Bayit be a Beit Shar for one and a Bayit for another? Because I mean, if it's a Beit Shar, then by definition it's not usable for participating in an Erev, for holding the Erev, because it's not Roy L'Dira. You can only put your Dira into a Bayit Shabbatzin, not into a Beit Shar Shabbatzin. Omrulei, so the Rabbanon all answered, Shnehem lo kanu Erev. Neither of them, in this case, could have an Erev, because Manavshav. I Beit Shar Mashvelei. What are you going to consider the house? If you consider it a Beit Shar, then the din is that hanotein et yeruvo bebeit shar achsadur mirpeset eno eruv. But on the other hand, if you're going to say that it's a bayit, then the bayit, where's the eruv in the bayit? The bayit mashvelei kamatata lebayit delo ma'arivlei. Then you're going to be carrying through a house which is not part of the eruv at all. So you can't have it both ways. So he said to them, why not? Why can't you have it both ways?
What's the problem with the house?
A house that's a Beit Shar is not a house. And if it is a house, if it is a house, because we want to make it a house for the other people, if it is a house, then there's no way that you can get to your Erev, because this house didn't participate in the Erev. So you can't call it a house, because then it's a contradiction to the other chotzers allowing it to be part of a non-Erev Rishus, through which they go to get to their Eruv. So whatever we save for one cancels the other one. Says, so he said to him, I understand, but why is that so terrible? Said Rechava. Marishna Midarava. We do have a case in which we take the best of both worlds, and we can have it both ways. Because look, Rava said in a case where a person makes two different, a guy becomes a shliach for two different Eruvim. So Amar Lushnayim, Tseva Arev Aleinu. Two people tell him, go please make an Eruv. Thank you very much. So what does he do? He puts down one Eruv Miba'od Yom, and the one he makes the Eruv Ben Hashmashot. But the one that was put down Miba'od Yom was eaten up by a cat, Ben Hashmashot. The one that he was ma'arev alav ben hashmashot, his eruv was eaten up only after it got dark. So now you'll say, okay, if we're going to consider the ben hashmashot as part of the day, so then we could say, ooh, that would be bad for the guy that ate it up.
Part of which day? I'm sorry.
Part of which day? Part of the day, the daytime, okay. Which is Friday. So then the guy who had it eaten up would be in bad trouble, because there was eaten up before. So we guess we better call it a night. That way he'll get an Erev. Ah, but the problem is that if we call it a night, then the other guy never got the Erev, because his Erev was put there only in the night. So now, the halacha nonetheless is both of them get an Erev. So for one guy, the Ben Hashmashot is the nighttime. Therefore, his Erev was eaten up already after nightfall. What's the big deal? For the other guy, the Erev is kosher because Ben Hashmashot is considered to still be the daytime. Now, why don't you say, make up your mind? So you see, when it comes to Erevin, we don't have to make up our mind. We can have two contradictory situations. Go Lakula. There you go. So why can't we do the same thing here? You're going to tell me, well, make up your mind. Is this a Beit Shar? Or is it a bayit? Well, it's all relative, you know. So why do you tell me neither of them make an error? So they said to him, Achi Hashta, what's the comparison? Hatam safek yimama safek lailia lo minkara milta. The fact is that an indeterminate state for Ben Hashmashot is not something that people are going to laugh about, because they recognize that it's a time that is a transition period. So that's already, Rabbanan can say, okay, so we'll go Lakula in both cases. Nobody sees that as being strange. When we have a suffix, we go lekula. Over here, it's not that we have a suffix. We're defining them in contradictory ways. We don't have an indeterminate space. We have two contradictory definitions applied to the same space. So, avalacha either gabe da hai by it, then legabe da hai by it. Vi legabe hai bechar, legabe hai nami bechar. The truth is that our real objection here is not because the reality is that we have to say that. The objection here is because people think that we have to say it. And therefore, we're concerned that Milta Darabanan will become a chukavitlula in the Lashon of the Gemara. We don't give piskei halachot that appear to unsophisticated people as being nonsense. But mi'ikar adin, we would have no problem in saying that we go lekula in both directions, and it's completely relative. To you, it's a beit shar, and the other one is the house. And to you, the house is the beit shar, and the beit shar is the house. Except that people will look at it and say, the rabbis are out of their minds. They're always indeterminate. So because of that, we can't pask in that way. But it's not that there's a fundamental difference between these two cases.
People in general can be more willing to be fudging the element of time than space.
No, it's not that. It's that they recognize that we could be misupak about a situation in Golakula. But they don't recognize that we could define things relatively. That's a different issue.
Yeah,
right? To say Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lila's Lakula Yom, Lakula Lila's okay by that. But to say what something is entirely relative sounds crazy to them. Okay, the truth is that this is the trouble that people have with modern science, most people. This is exactly the problem. They cannot accept the situation which to them appears to be a contradiction in terms. You can't have something that is this and then you define it differently as that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's all of those type of things that where the definition seems to be the thing that makes it real one way or the other, then they can't tolerate the dual definition. Hadran alach hadar. We're going to have to start again in Saba Josh is in a big rush. He has an appointment that he has to reach.
Let's hear from the bottom. Look at Aaron Lichtenstein's tweet that he said that the suffix of Benish Moses, he says Benish Moses itself has elements of Yom and elements of Laila. If he's within the Benish Moses itself. So if you say that, then that's in the suffix is different than the suffix of the bias.
It's a lovely brisker svar. Now we shall continue. I find that most the unsophisticated people never understand the brisker svar, is it? Chalon Sheben Shtei Chatzerot. Here we come to the question of what integrates two separate rishuyot. Finally, again, we've made reference to this many, many times in the course of the Masechta. We finally get to define a little bit more closely. So if we have a window between the two of the chatzerot, if this window is arba'a al-arba'a, and it's also betoch asara, then ma'arvim shnayim. We've already seen that a petach has to be a minimum of four tefachim by four tefachim. But it also has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, otherwise it's considered to be up in another rishon. Therefore, if it is betoch asara, and it's also the minimum 4 by 4 tefachim, then you can, if you wish, be ma'arvim shnayim. You could put the two together. V'im rotzu ma'arvim echad. On the other hand, since it's a petach, and it's not a pirza, if you wish, you can have two, if you wish, you can have one. We don't force you one way or the other. If it's pachot mi'arba al arba, if however, the window is less than the minimum required 4 by 4 tvachim, or it's lamala mi'asra tvachim, and therefore is not able to be a mixing of the two rishuyos on the level of the rishud, then you have no choice but to be ma'ariv shnayim ve'in ma'arvim echad. One Erev or two Erevs. Can you join the two Chatzerot as one Erev? Lema Tnan Stamak Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel? Is the reason for four, is that because the Tana holds like Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel di Amar, Kol Pachot Mi Arba'a Kilavudami? We saw before there's a machloket, whether the shear of contact is three Tvachim or four Tvachim. This sounds like, if it isn't 4 by 4, then for all intents and purposes, it's sealed. But that would be Shimon ben Gamliel Shita. No. It has nothing to do with that. Afilu teme karabanan. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan aleh the rabban Shimon ben Gamliel leinian levudim. The question over there was only vis-a-vis lavud, which is a particular halakha of how close something can be and still leave a space between it. When it comes to a petach, the rabbanan wouldn't have said 3x3 as a petach because it's already more than lavud, because you have a requirement, a separate requirement, for the shear of a usable petach. And a shear of a usable petach is arba alba, even according to the Rabbanan. So, ka arba'a al arba'a chashiv. V'ilo lo chashiv. It doesn't have any particular value, and therefore it's looked at as not a petach, but a breathing hole. Pachot mi arba'a. What is the point of repeating it? You say, if a chalon is 4x4 betoch asara, then you could be ma'ariv shnayim. If the chalon is less than 4x4 or above 10, then you have no choice but to be ma'ariv shnayim. I'm not an idiot. Once you tell me the first thing, I understand that if I go below the required shear, that then I have no choice but to be ma'ariv shnayim. I have to talk that out. Says the Gemara Pshita. You said already, kimen diyama arba'al arba'a betoch asara. I'm not so stupid. Memela ane yadana. Obviously, I know now that if it's less than arba al arba, or if it's lamala mi asra lo, that then I don't have a petach and I have no choice but to have two separate eruvim. Ah, says the Gemara, but it's a very important addition over here. Hakabashmala, taima de kule lamala mi asra. Note that what's added in the sefer is that it says if it is lamala mi asra. Now, if it's l'mala mi'asara, that means you're telling me the whole thing is l'mala mi'asara. If I had read it only the reisha, I would have said, if the whole thing isn't betoch asara. If you're telling me now something which is completely unnecessary, then my only conclusion can be is that you're coming to exclude that and to say, when I say betoch asara, I mean it should be partially betoch asara. If, on the other hand, it's kulo l'mala mi'asara, then you are not going to be able to be ma'ariv echad. Avu miktzato betoch asara, there you can have the option of either ma'arvim shnayim, the imratzu ma'arvim echad, which basically expresses in the diak of the Mishnah what the Braita speaks out clearly. Tanina ladatan rabbanan, kul olam ala mi'asara miktzato betoch asara. So if all of it, meaning the rove of it, is above the 10 and only a small part of it is betoch the asara, or kulo betoch asara, even if you have rove betoch asara, or some of it lamala asara, which we'll ask in a moment what the point of saying that is, then ma'arvim shnayim, v'imratzu ma'arvim echad, meaning that as long as some of it is betoch asara, then you have your option. So, what you have to say, what you have to say that part. If you already told me that I have my option of Marvim Shnayim or Imratzu, Marvim Echad, even where it's almost entirely above 10 and just has a little bit betoch asara, so was it really necessary to tell me kulo betoch asara? Umiksato l'mala mi'asara, I can do that. Me boy, obviously. Yeah, you're right. Obviously. Zovein tzarek l'mar zokatani. The Braita is just using the format of a bright of Zovein Tzarech Lomar Zok. You're going back to the Mishnah, I think?
Yeah.
Yes, there is no Kiddush in that. You're right. Omer of Yochanan. Now we could use Barnea's whiteboard. But I'm going to ask you to please just sort of keep a simple figure in your mind, geometric figure, so that we can get through this with a minimum of pain, because it's really not very complicated at all. Okay, I don't know if that's going to help us. So, says now Rabbi Yochanan, Chalon Agol. What? Yes, I'm going to draw it for you now. Chalon Agol. If you have a hobbit window, now, you told me that I need in the Mishnah Petach a 4x4. That's for those newcomers. Okay. But we hobbits don't use these square windows. So how big would a window be for us in order for us to be able to have a Petach between two chatzerot. Now, your first reaction might be that all you need is basically the area of such a window, 4x4. But that would be a mistake. You actually measure it differently. And what Rabbi Yochanan says is that what you're going to have to do is have a circle with a circumference, tzor shebe kefo, esrim v'arba'at vachim. The circumference of the circle is going to have to be 24 tefach, out of which, that's how Rashi learns. I'm going to ignore Rashi's pshat, though, because it's, you'll see why it's problematic. So therefore, I will say, the shnayim umashu mehen, that two and a little bit more tvachim of the circle, not of the circumference, but of the diameter of the circle, need to be betoch asara. Why? Because that way in yirba'enu nimtza mashu betoch asara. Okay, let's. Here, I'll use a piece of old-fashioned paper instead of an electronic whiteboard, although I must say it goes against the grain. Okay, so what we're saying is this. If we had started off with 4x4, here's my human window. I'm not a very good builder, as you can see. I've been in Israel too long. It's known as a square. Yes, it's a square, and it's 4x4. But it measures up about to the pictures that we have all the time. Okay. So says Rabbi Yochanan, what you're going to have to do... Huh? Floor is down here. Yeah, there's the floor. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you draw a circle around this square, basically, in which you put the square, as I've done as an Israeli, perfect. What you need to have in the circumference of this circle is 24 of the tvachim, of the units that you're measuring the square with, 4x4. Now, obviously, this is math. Because what do you really need? Let's think about what you really need. First, let's figure out the way in which, I'm saying, when I say really, I mean halachically really, not really, really. Halachically, we have a right to figure pi at 3. We've already proved that from Yom Shel Shlomo. Halachically, we have a right to consider the square root of 2 as 1.4. Correct? Those are the two givens that we've already seen that the Gemara has established. So that kol amta beribua is amta v'trei chumshe. Rather, kol amta is amta v'trei chumshe beribua. That means that the square, gentlemen, please, just concentrate for 5 minutes and you'll see this will all be clear. But if you start dozing off now, then you might as well go back home. So if pi is 3, and by Pythagoras, if we have a square 1 by 1, the resultant diagonal is the square root of 2, correct? Which should be 1.41, etc. But according to the halacha, we can now approximate the square root of 2 to 1.4 for all halakhic considerations, which means that each amma long of side is going to create a diagonal of 1 amma and 4/10, or 2/5, correct? 1.4 is 2/5, 1 2/5. And in order to keep it fractionally, let's call it 1 2/5, because that's the way the Gemara does it. It doesn't think in terms of decimals. We would talk about it as 1.4, 1 2/5 is 1.4, right? We're okay so far? Okay. So now let's figure out what we really, really would need, al pi halacha, what we would have expected Rabbi Yochanan to have said. We would have expected him to say that if we measure the diagonal of a square, which is 4, what would be now the length of that diagonal based on 1.4 as the square root of 2?
5/56.
Well, we have 4, and we have to add 2/5 for each one of those 4, which is 8/5. Okay? So 8/5 equals 1 more, that's 5. And now we have left over our 3/5. If we multiply the 5 and 3/5 by pi equals 3, which which we have to do in order to figure out the circumference that is going around this diagonal, which is now the diameter of the circle. So 3 times 5 and 3 fifths ought to give us, 16, Professor, please help us.
16 and 4 fifths,
correct? 16 and 4 fifths. So you would have thought that the circumference lahalacha of this habit window, in which we're going to embed a normal window, would actually be 16 and 4 fifths, or the way the Gemara puts it, 17 minus a fifth. That's the way they like it. Nechichum, that's the way we say that. Okay, instead he comes up with this wild idea of 24. If he's saying 24, then he's saying that the diagonal actually, based on pi being 3, is 8. Thank you. So if the diagonal is 8, that means that the difference between the bottom of the square and the end of the circle on each side is how much? Well, I know that the distance of the square is 4, so then it's 2. 2 here and 2 here plus 4 equals 8. Therefore, assuming that, in fact, we have 2 from the bottom of the square to the end of the circle, if the window is not more than 2 down to the ground, then it's not going to be, none of the square will be within 10. But if 2 and a little bit more are now below the line of 10, this being the line of 10 on either side here, which is where the wall is, so then I can be certain that some of my square is going to be inside the line, and that's all I need. Some of my square to be inside the line.
Why do we care about that?
Because the Mishnah said, if it's lamala me'asara, it doesn't count.
But Mishnah was talking about a square window.
Okay, so what Rav Yochanan is saying is that the window doesn't start until the point that it gets to be 4x4.
Until it gets to the square.
If it's not 4, then there's no window at all. That's nothing. So this area, which is not 4 wide, doesn't count.
It's like a frame.
So the point, that's right. So the point at which it's a window is where it petach has to be 4. So there's no 4 here. So if there's 2, then I've already taken care of that 2. And a little bit more gets me the beginning of a petach of 4 betoch asara. And since you just said that a petach betoch asara, it can be even a little bit, but that's good enough for me. So now I have an opening within my 10 tefachim. Of course, the only thing that makes zero sense over here is how the heck he came up with a value of 8 as the diagonal of a square, which is 4x4. Since it's way, way off. Okay. So ask the Gemara, now wait a minute.
That would mean that if you have a chalon like this, and only here is it stopping by 4, it would also only start here.
Correct. Don't mess up my beautiful drawing.
Scan that.
Understand this may have had value, and somebody could have bought it, sold it in a few thousand years for millions. Of course, the millions wouldn't be worth anything. So, the Gemara asks, of course.
Just one thing, maybe. With that 2 measurement, that means the bottom line of the window will be a 10.
No. Shem umashu. Umashu means that it's a little bit in the 10. Okay. Ask the Gemara Michte. Kol sheyesh be'kefo shlosha tefachim, yesh bo berochav tefach. I thought that we have a relationship of 3:1 as pi, in which case, why wouldn't 12 be enough? Now, the Gemara's question now is, why would we necessarily need 4x4 embedded in the circle, which was your first question. Why do we need 4x4 embedded in the circle? Why can't we simply have a window that satisfies the requirements of being 4x4 right in the middle? A circle is 4x4. It's not 4x4 is a square, but where do you say it had to be a square? So why can't a petach just be 4x4? In which case, if a circle is 4x4 and pi is 3, then what you should really need is a circumference of 12. 3 times 4 is 12. Okay. Fox, you did it. You did it. The third grade is fucking congratulations.
I just, great.
Yeah, just imagine. If not, you go to the principal, so be careful. Okay? So therefore, 12 ought to be enough, says the Gemara. Now, wait a minute, because you're making an assumption, and we don't need to have a square embedded. That's Hani Mila B'Igula. That would be if we could be satisfied with a space of 4 by 4 in the middle of a circle. But we need for a petach a ribua. So for a ribua, you need more than that. Okay, fine. You need more than that. So let's make it more, all right? How much larger is a square than a circle? Well, if pi is 3 and a square is 4, then obviously a circle is nothing but the equivalent square squished into a circle with an added 1 unit. 3/4. It's going to be 3/4. We need the 4/4. Okay, good. So if a square now, not coincidentally, if the circle is 3, then the square is 4. Because how much larger is the square than the circle? 1/4. Well, right, by definition. That's what pi equals 3 means. So if that's the case, take the circumference of this square and turn it into a circle. The circumference of a square of 4 is 16. The other way of saying it is, since the square is larger than the circle by 1/4, so add that 1/4 to the circumference. You started with 12, add an additional 1/4, and you come out with 16, and now everybody's happy, right? But certainly that doesn't make it 24. Now, obviously, the wrong thinking here is that what we need to have is a square that is circumscribed by a circle, not a square that is the equivalent shetach of the circle or anything like that. So therefore, this is not going to be a very useful idea. But let's read it in the Gemara. Ribua bin tvei. Okay, how much tvei do we need? Kama meruba yeter alai gul ravia. So now, b'sheitzar sagi, which is, not coincidentally, just what the square happens to be. Again, not coincidentally, because you said pi equals 3. So it's very easy to figure out what the square as a circle would be precisely the same as adding that additional side. So good. So now it should be 16. Should be 16. That's only where the circle is inscribed in the square. But if the square is inscribed in the circle, now you're going to have to include the extra length of the diagonal of the square. You can't simply say the relationship is of the side of 4 to the side, so to speak, the virtual side of a circle, which is 3. It's not the same at all. Because here you're going to need a circle in which you could put a window of 4x4. But if you put a window of 4x4, you're going to have to worry about the diagonal of the window of 4x4. And we already saw that that was a lot bigger than 4. It was 4 times 1 and right? Okay. So my time of why bin and tve, you're gonna need more. My time of why do you need more? Mishum Murshna de Karnasa, because you have the additional piece of the diagonal that has extended the corners out. And that became the diameter of your circle. Okay, fine. So let's take a little Pythagoras over here. Michta. Kol amta beribua. Let's analyze what the square. Now, what the alakson is, what is the diagonal of the square, which is 4x4? Our rule is that the square root of 2 is amta. Each amma becomes an amta v'trei chumshin. So it becomes 1.4, 1 and 2 fifths. Fine. Multiply that times 4. Multiply that first times 4, in this case, because it's a square of 4. Multiply that by 3, which is now pi times the diameter of the circle, which is the alakson of the square. And we already did that before we started, and we came out to 16 and 4/5, or in the Gemara's Lashon, 17 minus a fifth. Now, 17 minus a fifth is a long way from 24. So where did he get 24? Do you understand how we got 17 minus a fifth?
Yeah, you multiplied 1/5.
One and 2/5. First, we multiplied it 4 times because it was a square of 4. That gave us the diameter of the circle, which is the equivalent of the diagonal of the square. And we multiplied that by our pi, which is 3. We came out with 16 and 4/5. Right? Okay. So how did he come out from 16 and 4/5 How did he get to 24? Oh, you see, Rabbi Yochanan was following the sheet of the Dayane de Kesare, or some say it was the Rabbonin de Kesare, who say the following cryptic formula, which is that an igula migo ribua is a riva, which we just said before, but a relationship of 4 to 3. But a ribua migo igula is palga. In other words, one half of the inner square needs to be added in order to make the outer circle the correct size to hold it. Now, if that's the case, what he's really saying is that the diagonal, this is how Tosafos understands it, that we measure, therefore, the diagonal would have to be 2 times 2. So, in other words, if we have, and the Gemara rejects this out of hand in Sukkah, it says, Veloi, do chazina le delav kulei hayu. So in other words, what we're doing is we're saying that a square of 8 requires the diagonal of 4. It requires a diagonal of 8, which is how we began. A diagonal of 8 if pi is 3. Is 24. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Now as Tosis points out, the Dayane de Kesaria, we're actually talking about the measurement of the Shetach. If you take the shetach of the inscribed square, and now you make a circumcised square, and you measure the difference between them, it's almost exactly palga. The inner square is palga of the outer square. They weren't talking about circumferences at all. Rabbi Yochanan took them to mean that it's a reference to circumference. The Gra goes into all beautiful mathematical analysis to prove that Rabbi Yochanan was precisely on target, and it is exactly 20, which is really a brilliant analysis, and that what he was doing is saying that you don't have a right to utilize a circle which would include a 4x4 window, because once we made a takona that we have to actually have a square, then in order to avoid the confusion, we need to put a square around that circle.
Not a square yet.
Right, not a square in the circle. We must make a circle and then put a square around that circle. And that area now becomes so. Well, it works out.
This is double.
Tosfos is measuring here the. Squares. He's measuring the shetach.
This big square is double the
yeah,
small.
Exactly.
There's a nice picture here of the circle and the square, and that's really.
Okay. Lovely.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, so really, really everything works out just hunky dory.
And that the 24 then becomes could hold an 8x8.
An 8x8.
That's not what the Gemara
says. Now the 2
problem is those last words of the Gemara. Riba Bigur Golo Palga.
The 2
doesn't seem to say what the Gemara is saying.
Why not?
Seems to be just defining the measurement that's needed.
Yeah.
But not because you need to make a square.
Oh, no, you know what I mean. But what was Rabbi Yochanan saying?
He seems to be going like the Kesaria that's saying.
Yeah, but they say, okay, all right, fine. Well, we didn't work out the Gra here, so I understand your objection. Good. Well, who says that? Talking about the actual Reba. That's
what it means.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any Hechrach in the Lashon. Okay, so we now understand where Rabbi Yochanan got his idea from. But getting back to Rashi's shot in the Shnayim, you can understand now why it's problematic. Because to say that Shnayim Umashu out of the circumference should be within the 10 Tvachim height makes no sense whatsoever. Taking two Tvachim out of the 24 doesn't get you anywhere near having the inscribed square come within the 10 Tvachim. Everybody says, what is Rashi talking about? Yeah, that only takes the little edge of the circle. It doesn't get anywhere near the square part. Okay, so therefore some learn that what Rashi actually means is this. If you take 4 Tvachim, which is the distance that you're going to have to use for the Chalon, and you cut that out of the circumference, 4 Tvachim, then 2.5 tvachim on either side is just where you get in the circumference to where you have the circle down close enough to have the tent. Most Rishonim learn the way I said it, which is that the 2 is not referring to 2 out of the circumference, it's referring to 2 out of the total height of the circle. 2 plus a little bit more. But since Rashi says 2 of them plus, the only way to make that work out is to actually say 4, that's the area that you would need anyway, that doesn't count because that's part of the petah, but if you get an additional 2 of the circumference on either side of that 4, plus a little bit more, so that you have 8 and something more of the circumference out of the 24, then indeed the beginning of the square and that's inscribed in this circle will be betoch asara, which is a pretty complicated way of getting to the same idea. Okay, but if you do the figures, it works out just fine. Okay, if it's less than 4x4, or if it's lamala mi'asara, then said the Mishnah, you have no choice, and you're going to have 2 separate eruvim for the 2 chatzerot, and there's no way that you could carry from one to the other. Omer of Nachman, it's only between 2 chatzerot. But if you have a chalon shebein shnei batim, there afilu lamala mi'asara nami im ratzu la'arev ma'arvim echad. My time beta commanded mal yadami. We've already seen long ago in the Masechet Shabbat that the idea of separating out a reshut above 10 tefachim in height will never apply to a roofed area. Because once there's a roof, then the entire area is considered to be enclosed as a single reshut. And the concept of 10 tefachim is meaningless within a single reshut. So who cares where the window is on the wall? Once there's a roof there, it's in the same reshut. It's not that 10 is inconvenient, or that's not the point. The point is it within the reshut that we need to be ma'arik? So the chatzer, the reshut of the chatzer, starts at the ground, goes up 10 tefachim. Okay? If you have a petach within that 10 tefachim, then the chatzerot could be mixed if you want to, and you can make it all one a roof. But a bayit, the entire bayit, the same bayit, and wherever the window is in the room, doesn't matter how high on the wall it is. My taima beta kamandamal yadami. For all intents and purposes, the house is considered to be an enclosed solid space. Eitve Rav L'Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman on the following. It says, Echad li chalon sheben shtei chatzirot, v'echad li chalon sheben shtei batim, v'echad li chalon sheben shtei aliyot, v'echad li chalon sheben shnei gagim, v'echad li chalon sheben shnei chadarim. I don't care where this chalon is, get this straight, buddy. I don't care if it's in the second story, if it's in the first story, if it's in the roof, if it's between 2 chatzerot, it's the 2 halves of your brain, it has to be the same size, no matter what. Kulan arba al arba'a betoch asara. It always needs to have that minimum size. Now, what are you going to do about that? You claim that the chalon only if it was ben chatzerot, but if it's in a room, you said, no, then it's all command amal yadami. Here it says, but feirush not. Ah, says Reb Nachman, that doesn't bother me. That's only referring to a window between 2 chatzerot. And what about the fact that it said, I don't care if it's this and I don't care if it's that, and you're saying, but I only mean, of course, if it's between 2 chatzerot. I got to see how you're going to explain this one. V'echad li katani. How about that whole big shebang about, I don't care what we're talking about. Nah, that was referring to arba larba. That wasn't referring to the asara. You always need 4x4, yes. But you don't always need that it should be lamata mi'asara, because the concept of lamata mi'asara doesn't apply. That's the point. It's always lamata mi'asara if it's enclosed. So you couldn't have been referring to that. So it's just using the normal measurements. So normal measurements apply, I don't care where this chalon is. That's true. Normal measurements apply. But which part of the normal measurement has any application to a space that can't be measured in 10 tefachim? Only 4x4. Because if it's in an enclosed space, wherever it is, it's within 10 tefachim. Are we clear about this? So this is how Reb Nachman understands the bright. Boy, Rabbi Rabba Mir Reb Nachman, how far would you go with this filled up space. How about if it's vertical? You've got an opening to the second story. The only way to get there is with a ladder. There's no ladder. But that doesn't matter. Because being as we live in a world of virtual halakha, who needs a ladder if you can climb up in the bayit that's kamalia damya, right? So memela, it doesn't matter whether it's betoch hasarah, would you take it that far? Or is an enclosed rishus only a question of measuring the height from the floor, is what you're saying. You're certainly not saying that something that's vertically, that is facing you from above, is considered to be within your house. Or are you? So what about a lul, a patuach min habayit la'aliyah? I wonder whether tzarich sulam kavua la'atiro, or ain't tzarich sulam kavua la'atiro. Normally, if you have, let's say, we saw before, if you have a wall between two chatzirot, and you have a ladder that's up against the wall on either end, then that becomes your petach. Okay, so over here, I recognize that there is a petach between the bayit and the aliyah, which means that we could join each other in an eruv, if there's a ladder. But how about there's no ladder that's kavua? Would you be willing to say it doesn't matter? Or would you say, no, Beita Kamanda Malya Dam, you can't make it even... The principal's office is on that second story,
can't
Fox.
Make it even.
Can't make it even vertical, that you could just pop into the second story. So, kiyam rinam beita kamanda malya dama ani mili min atzad. Would we say that the house being filled is only on the side of the room? Avo be'emtza loa doesn't mean that any area that's in the middle, in some kind of virtual space, hanging down from nowhere, as long as it's enclosed within, is all one thing. Maybe you'd say it makes no difference. Omalei eino tzarech. You do not need that ladder. Now he thought he meant, okay, you don't need a ladder to be permanently there because the Beit HaKamandam Al Yadamya, but you still need access, but you can't climb up on the Beit HaKamandam Al Yadamya. So he thought, Sulam Kavud Eino Tzarech, but at least you need access to a Sulam, so it should be a Sulam Arai. But in the end, Itma Omer Rav Yosef Bar Min Yomi Omer Rav Nachman, you don't need anything. Echad Sulam Kavua, Vechad Sulam Arai, Eino Tzarech. All you need to get to that Aliyah is to have a firm belief that a Beit has Kamandam Al Yadamya, and you will never fall.
So this is in a barn with the loft way up, doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. No.
Does there nothing to do with the ability to get into each other's person?
Right. Okay, Fox. Oh, wait a minute. We have our president. Shall we accept that? Where was the oomph? Kotel shebein shtei chatzerot. Govoa asara. V'rochav arba'a me'arvim shnayim ve'in marvim echad. If you have a wall that is 10 tfachim high, now it says over here it's 4 tfachim wide, but for this case it's irrelevant that it's 4 tfachim wide. Because the first, we say it because later it becomes relevant. For the opening case in the Mishnah, all that we need to know is that there is a wall between the two chatzerot. There's no doorway. So then you're ma'arvim shnayim. You have no choice. You're two separate eruvin. Ve'in ma'arvin echad. Haya b'rosho peirot. But now, suppose you have a bowl of fruit. A bowl of lox.
A bowl of fruit. Like just a bowl of cherries.
So then, olim mikan vochlim, velo olim mikan vochlim. It's fine to climb up wherever you are to get that bowl of cherries, but make sure you don't take them down into the chatzer. Ubevachi lo yoridu lematan. Now, why precisely lo yoridu lematan is not clear. What do I have against being Morid and Lamata? I mean, if we go according to Rabbi Shimon, then for sure it's crazy. Because Rabbi Shimon says that any Rishut is the same as any other Rishut of the same type. So that a chotzer, a karfaf, a top of a wall, a gog, is all one reshut. There's no problem of carrying from one to the other. You can't carry from your home into another reshut. But you can certainly carry from the same type of reshut, a mabui, a karfaf, a chotzer, a gog, a arba tvachim al gabe kotel asara. What's the difference? So ein achinami, according to Rabbi Shimon, will have to say that the meaning of don't take them down means don't take them down into your house to eat. It doesn't mean don't take them down into the chutzah. You would be able to take them down into the chutzah. The question is, according to the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Shimon. Boy, oh boy. We are rapidly losing our audience. No. He plans on leaving 20 minutes before. It's very gradual. Starts with a phone call, then starts the packing process. But all along, it's 1 foot out. Okay, so what would be the reason over there? The possibility is that it's a karfaf, because it's not easily usable. So maybe, according to Rabbana, would be the equivalent of carrying from a karfaf into a chatzer. So it would be two types of rishos. Tosfos doesn't like that. Doesn't like that at all. He says that maybe the issue over here is that the two... Okay, we're reviewing Daf Ayin Vov, starting from Ayin A on the base. Om Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Asara Batim Zevet Kimi Zeh Pnimi Noten Et Eruv Vov Dayo Rav Yochanan Omer Afilo Chitzon Chitzon Beit Sharu Chitzon Shal Pnimi The Maika Miflage Marzava Beit Shar Diyachit Shmei Beit Shar Marzava Lav Shmei Beit Shar Om Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravu Omer Rav Shnei Chatzirot V'Shalosh Shabbati Beneihem Zeh Baderach Zeh V'Noten Eruv Vov Bezeh V'Zeh Baderach Zeh V'Noten Eruv Vov Bezeh Zeh Naaseh Beit Shar Lezeh וזה נעשה בית שער לזה אמצעי עבדי בית שמניחם בו עירוב ואין צריך לתן את הפת בריקלו רחבה לרבנן הוא בעת שתי חצירות ושני בתים ביניהם זה בדרך זה ונתן עירובו בזה וזה בדרך זה ונתן עירובו בזה קנו עירוב או לא קנו ממה שבילו לגבי דהי בית ולגבי דהי בית שער ולגבי דהי בית שער ולגבי דהי בית אמרו לי שניהם לא קנו עירוב מה נפשר אי בית שער משווית עלי הנותנת עירובו בבית שער עכשיו מרפסת אינו עירוב אי בית משווית עלי כמטלת לבית אלו מעריב לי ומי שלמי לרוב עדי אמר רוב אומר לו שניים צבע רב עלינו לאחד ירב עליו מבעוד יום לאחד ירב עליו בין השפשות זה שירב עליו מבעוד יום נאכל עירובו בין השפשות וזה שירב עליו בין השפשות נאכל עירובו משטח אשר שניהם קנו עירוב חיישת אתם ספק יממה ספק ליליה לא מינקרא מילטה אבל הכה אי לגבי דהי בית לגבי דהי בית אי לגבי דהי בית שער לגבי דהי נמי בית שער אדרן לא כדר חלון שבין שתי חצרות ארבעה על ארבעה בתוך עשרה מערבים שניים ממרוץ ומערבים אחד פחות מארבעה על ארבעה או למעלה מעשרה מערבים שניים ואין מערבים אחד למה תנס תמק רוצים מגם לי עוד המקור פחות מארבעה כלב עוד אני? לא אפילו תן מקרבנה אכן לא פלגי רבנן על ידי רב שמי מגם לי אלא עניין לבודין אבל עניין פיתחה אפילו רבנן מודו יהי כארבעה על ארבעה חשיב ולא לא חשיב פחות מארבעה מאוד פשיטה כי ודמרת ארבעה על ארבעה בתוך עשרה ממילא אני ידענה זה פחות מארבעה למעלה מעשרה לא לא, כמשמע תיימד את כולי למעלה מעשרה אבל מקצתו בתוך עשרה מערבים שניים ואם רצו מערבים אחד in which case תמין על עד אדן רבונן כולו למעלה מעשרה מקצתו בתוך עשרה כולו בתוך עשרה מקצתו למעלה מעשרה in either case מערבים שניים רצו מערבים אחד היי, אמין, השתה כולו למעלה מעשרה מקצתו בתוך עשרה אמרת מערבים אם רבים שניים רצו מערבים אחד כולו בתוך עשרה מקצתו למעלה מבואי זו ואין צריך לומר זו קטן אומר יוחנן, חלון עגול צריך שבהיקפו 24 טפחים ושניים ומשהו מהם בתוך עשרה שאם ירבענו נמצא משהו בתוך עשרה מכתק, או שיש בהיקפו שלושה טפחים יש בו ברוחבו טפח בטרייס הסאגת אני מילה בעיגולה אבל בריבוע בינתווי מכתק כמה מרובע יתר על העיגול רביע in which case בשיץ הסאגת אני מילה עיגולה דנופק מגור ריבוע aber ribua de nafik mi goi gula bin en tvei mai tana mishu murshe de karnata. Okay, even so, nifti kol amta beribua is only an amta betrei chumshi balaksona. Multiply that by 3 and you get up to shifsenefi chumsha sagi, that would be enough. Rabbi Yochanan Amar ki dayana de kesare v'amre ki rabbanan de kesare di amre igula mi go ribua riva rivua mi go igula palga. פחות מארבעה על ארבעה אומרים נחמן לא שונו אל החלון שבין שתי חצרות, אבל חלון שבין שני בתים, אפילו למעלה מעשרה נעני, אם רצו לערב מערבים אחד, מיתיימה, בית הקמד אמר ידמי, עת ורוב על רב נחמן, אחד לחלון שבין שתי חצרות, ואחד לחלון שבין שני בתים, ואחד לחלון שבין שתי עליות, ואחד לחלון שבין שני גגים, ואחד לחלון שבין שני חדרים, כולן ארבעה על ארבעה בתוך עשרה. מה תרגמו החצרות? חצרות! אחד לקטני. That's about ארבעה על ארבעה. בואי מיני רבה ברם נחמן, how about a lul? הפתוח מן הבית לעלייה, צריך סולם קבוע לעתירו, או אין צריך סולם קבוע לעתירו? כי אמרינם בית הקמנדה, מה ידע מה אני מילה מן הצד, אבל באמצע לא, הודיעו מלוש לא, אמר לי אינו צריך. סבור מנה, סולם קבוע הוא די לא צריך, הסולם הרייט לי צריך, איתמר אמר רב יוסף בן יומי אמר רב נחמן, אחד סולם קבוע ואחד סולם הרי, אינו צריך. כל תושב שבין שתי חצרות גבוה עשרה ורוחב ארבעה, מערבים שניים ואין מערבים אחד, היו בראשו פירות, אלו עולים מכאן ואוכלים, ואלו עולים מכאן ואוכלים, עבד שלא ירידו למטה. נפרצה הכותל עד עשרה מאות מערבים שניים, ואם רוצה מערב אחד בבני שוק הפתח, יותר מ-10 מאות ממערבים אחד, מאין מערבים שניים.